tonight, we're going to be looking at
a few of the things that we have by resurrection, because of the resurrection. The resurrection has enabled salvation. Without the resurrection, we would be without hope. The one thing that, I shouldn't say one thing, a major thing that sets the Christian faith off from others, is other religions, is the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead.
Amen.
There are other leaders of religion, as the world would consider Jesus to be the leader of the Christian church, but their leaders died and are in a tomb. But Jesus Christ, who died, and his death, we know, was so significant. The purpose of his death was to die, to pay the price for our sins. And there's so much that's what we spend our time preaching on. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus had not risen, we would not have hope. Our hope, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Now, let's look at several things here. First of all, the resurrection displays God's power. The book of Ephesians, in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look beginning at verse 17. Where the Apostle Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, here it is, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the Father of glory, raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. And we know that he's sitting there to intercede for us. But the resurrection displays God's power. Death could not hold Jesus. It could not keep Jesus. And, there's so many, you may recall me saying already, a diamond, when it's cut, of course, has many facets to it. And the light, when it shines in, shows those many, many different facets of the diamond. And that's salvation, okay? Salvation, I'm likening now to the diamond. But it has many facets to it. We're looking at the facet of resurrection, you say. And without the resurrection, we would have no hope. But listen, there's also the facet of the blood of Jesus. And without the blood of Jesus, okay, now, just hold this thought a minute. If you see, what if Jesus had died but had not shed his blood, and God raised him up? Wouldn't work.
No,
wouldn't work. Because the blood is one of those facets. And when the light of here, he calls it about in verse 17, where he wants to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing the knowledge of him. And therefore, when the light of God, and we know that's through the scriptures, when that shines through salvation, now we see the importance of the blood. But then we also see the absolute necessity of the resurrection. But then there's even more. When you think about this matter of our salvation, there's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, except the Spirit draw a man, no man can come to the Father. Now, the Father sends the Spirit to convict us. And he indeed does draw us to the Son. So you see, you could have the blood, and you could have the resurrection, but you wouldn't have Bible salvation.
That's right.
If you didn't have the Holy Spirit and his work.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Wait. Here's another word that comes to mind. Redemption. You see, you have to have redemption too. That's another one of the facets. You can have, if I can remember them, okay. You can have the blood, you can have the resurrection, you can have the Spirit, but you also need, through the Lord Jesus Christ, redemption. There are so many important teachings that I think of coming under the umbrella of salvation. I mean, salvation itself is even one of the facets, if you please, though I likened salvation to the diamond. They are each so very, very important.
Yes, sir.
And we cannot do without them. And so here we see in scriptures in verse 20 about being raised up from the dead. All right, now we're going to take a minute. We're going to pray for Peter and whatever that fire siren is about, okay? Father in heaven, I do pray that you would be with the men, especially Peter, but all of the men, Lord, as they respond to this emergency, this need, whatever sort it may be. We pray you give wisdom to those who are in leadership as to how to meet the need that this siren is alerting men to. And even as we hear cars racing to the fire hall, Lord, we pray you give protection to each one of them who serve the community and individuals. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sam, if you're needed, go. It's not a structure fire. Okay.
What isn't it?
It's not a structure fire.
Okay, how can you tell that?
They text you.
Pardon?
They text you.
Oh! I can't hear any difference in the siren.
One of my land, two of my seat.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Old people are funny. All right. So we see God's power is displayed. And then we're going to turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Because here what we're going to do is see that the resurrection declares the resurrection declares the sonship of Jesus Christ, the deity of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, where it says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." The sonship. Now you see, all people that are created in the sense of creation can be called the sons of God. But sons of God as believers comes when we are born into the family of God through salvation. But then also the sonship of Jesus Christ is an additional matter, and only he can be called the Son of God in that sense. And he is called the Son of God because he is God. And so this resurrection declares so many things. Here we see about the Spirit of holiness. And so he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. That only can come from God itself by the resurrection from the dead. Always, it is such an aggravation to me. And it doesn't take a lot to get me aggravated, okay? I like commercials. You've heard that before. And there are some really neat commercials. And they come on, and Pat is one of these people who, she controls the remote, okay? And she controls the remote because we were going through some boxes. We had to move boxes out because of a leak in the roof. We moved them in the guest room. Now our daughter, Cindy, and her husband from St. Mary's are coming up to go to the banquet. And so I had to move those boxes out of the guest room. And they were so big. Man, when I was only 4 years ago, but I packed huge ones. And I've lost my strength since then. So I got mid-sized ones. And we were repacking them. And one of the things she found was it's a frame about that size, rectangular. And on that, she printed in some manner, the Bible verse, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes."
Yes.
And she put that in front of the television when our grandsons were there. I'm almost sure that's when it started with our grandsons who are now grown, okay? But she put that there. And she said, "Well, you can pack that." I said, "It might be good to keep that out." Yeah. She said, "You might need that. You're right." A lot of confidence for me. She controls the remote. And when one program's done, she won't just sit there and watch the commercials. She'll see if she can find another program that's going on. Of course, most commercials are put on at the same time to avoid that sort of thing. And she'll be ready to say, "Don't leave, this is a good commercial." And I love to sit there, and some of them are funny and I'll laugh at them. Some of them are sad. There's one about Alzheimer's. And it shows three different people who the elderly is having Alzheimer's. And there's one, a father and his son. And I'll tell you, if it's an actor for the father that has Alzheimer's, he deserves whatever kind of award it is they give for acting, because he is excellent. Or he is an Alzheimer's. I mean, it's so real, I can't figure out, does he have Alzheimer's? To get him there, or is this an actor? And I don't know, but that one I just sit and a lump in my throat. And then some of them are funny, but some of them are so aggravating. That's what I started with, dumb as can be. And and of course, you see, that keeps my blood pressure in good shape. Because I get to vent on those commercials. That's better than venting on your wife. And so. True. Got that one down, huh, Randy? And so, how did I get into that? Yeah, but there was something in the notes and in the Bible that made me think of that.
You were thinking of commercials.
Yeah, I don't know. We better just leave it alone. Move on here. The third thing regarding the resurrection is it involves the third person of the Trinity. It involves the Holy Spirit. And we're still in Romans. Look at chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Romans 8 and verse 11. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, "if he dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken," or give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is involved in resurrection power. Now, Jesus had power in himself, but the Godhead is at work. In Ephesians 1, we heard about God the Father of glory raising up Jesus. Here we read about the Holy Spirit's part. The Godhead was involved in that great resurrection. Now, listen, when you get saved, you know, all you know, usually when a person gets saved, all you know is that you are a sinner, and if you don't have salvation, you're going to spend time in hell, and that's not a good thing. And and you know, a person knows that their life's a mess, and they need something different, and what they're hearing is that Jesus can give that difference, can make that difference. A person doesn't know all of this about salvation. You cannot. And listen, even if a person did learn all of these nitty-gritty details about salvation, that wouldn't save them.
That's right.
That'd just give them knowledge.
That's right.
The only thing a person needs to know is that they're a sinner, God loves them, and God can save them, and God will save them, and know that God is the one in control of this. I mean, good night, there's a half a dozen things. But they're all connected, you see. And it isn't that you have to know a great deal about the Bible. Now, the fourth thing regarding resurrection, and I'm going to end with this. Resurrection is the destroyer of the sting of sin. 1 Corinthians, next book. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is resurrection chapter. It talks about, in the beginning, it talks about the resurrection of Christ. And then, as the chapter progresses, it talks about our resurrection, which we have because he was raised from the dead. But look at verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this corruptible body raised from the dead, and put on incorruption, we get a new body, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Woo-hoo! Think about that. And, you know, we're mortals, but there's coming a day where we're going to put on immortality. Now, that doesn't in any way make it's not immortality the way the Highlander had it. Okay, I heard a few grunts, and so I know there's some. I know what I mean. You know, the Highlander, he lived in any century. He wanted to live in, okay, and he'd come back, and he was, I like that program. He was one tough dude, okay? But, not immortality like that. This is immortality like God has.
Amen.
And like God gives us. And so he then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives us that victory because just at the beginning of this chapter makes so clear, he rose from the dead. Death held no dominion, no power over him. And because that is the case, you see, because that's the experience, we do not have to be concerned with the sting of death. But we'll die. Unless the Lord, we're living generation when the Lord comes, we'll die. And, you know, I've begun much more. People say, oh, I'm not feeling good. And I say, well, what's the alternative? Here comes Peter. Okay, what was it?
Someone threw a cigarette out the window and lit the grass on fire up the road.
Ah, man. Phew, give him a fine.
That's one way to get scorched earth.
Yeah, and so, but anyway, the promise and the hope because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that we too shall rise from the dead.
Amen.
we too shall rise from the dead. Father in heaven, our desire is to live in the power of your resurrection. Our desire, Father, is to see you work through us and help us, Father, and realize it. Certainly, we know we're not doing it by ourselves, but one of the means whereby you work through us is through the power of the resurrection. Now, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.